if you grew up in some sort of trauma, and even if it's something that maybe you had a great loving family and you had everything that you needed, there could still be trauma that creates stress in your life today.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Every episode is amazing, but this one is extra special. We have Leslie. How are you today, Leslie?
I am fantastic. I'm doing great.
Awesome. So we're going to just jump right in. Tell me, what does a pink elephant have to do with your happiness?
Well, it started out as a tool to teach children how to love parts of themselves that they're struggling with. And then I realized it's just as applicable for adults. You know, that thing that you're struggling with, the elephant in the corner of the room, the thing you've always struggled with, whatever that is, instead of being ungrateful and hating it and bad-mouthing it all the time, you can befriend this part of yourself and try and send it some love. And that's really kind of a paradigm shift. Instead of, you know, looking at your body, say you're overweight and you're always trying to lose weight, what about loving your body instead and loving that part of yourself that needs a little help? And that's really where it kind of came from. It's really about self-love. And you shouldn't be complaining about anything. You should be sending it love instead of, and just try and shift your paradigm a little bit.
So when you say it, complaining about it, what is it?
I would say it's anything you're struggling with. For someone, it might be their weight. For someone else, it might be their level of success. Oh my gosh, I can't find a job. I'm so frustrated with this. And instead, just love the job hunt and love the fact that you have unlimited options in front of you, because who knows what will happen tomorrow. You could land the perfect job. And just really kind of shift your paradigm. And instead of feeling anxious, just try and feel like it's a friend that needs some love. That's really, really what it's all about.
So how important is self-love to being happy?
Honestly, I think it's everything. I think that those relationships we struggle with, we're really struggling with loving parts of ourselves more. And I think personally, I've struggled with self-love a lot. And I don't know whether it's being the middle child or being in a house where I was very introverted, kind of I struggled with trying to accept myself and love myself. And I think that really follows you everywhere you go into your adulthood. And I really think that the more you love yourself, the happier and the more successful you are going to be just by nature.
I agree 100%. In every video with Love Heals All. And if you look at all of the world's problems, I mean, all of the world's problems, there are very few that you can't trace back to an individual's lack of self-love and compassion. It's the reason that our prisons are full. It's the reason there's a war in Ukraine right now. It's the reason that politicians do corrupt things. It has to do with child sex trafficking. It has to do with the addiction rate, the divorce rate, the obesity rate. Literally, I could spend an hour listing things, because people who have self-love don't hurt other people.
Right.
And I think so many people listening might be like, well, that's so woo-woo, like self-love, like it's not that big of a deal. And you and I are saying, you're a psychology professor, and I've been coaching now for a couple of years as a happiness coach. Like, it's everything. Just like you said, it's freaking everything. Yeah. So if you want to think it's woo-woo and be like, sure, if you want to turn your head and be like, that's not important, you can keep living the life you are living. If you're struggling or going through any of those things I said, you can keep thinking, oh, I don't need self-love. Or you might be able to wake up one day and be like, maybe these guys know what they're talking about. Maybe there really is something to self-love.
Right. I think it's important for all ages. My son is 20. And he really struggled for years with his weight and feeling good about himself. He's very shy. And he just kind of started loving himself more. And now he's walking 5 miles a day. He's lost 100 pounds. And it really made all the difference in the world, just kind of teaching him, not teaching him, because kids don't really like to be taught, but just helping him understand, you got to love yourself, flaws and all, no matter what's wrong, you just got to love it unconditionally.
Yeah. And I think you probably agree that all change begins with awareness. So if we were having this podcast a few years back and you asked me, if you were just, hey, Brad, do you love yourself? I'd have said, of course, Leslie, I love myself. How's your self-esteem, Brad? I'd say it was great. Brad, do you care about what other people think about you? Nope. Well, those were all lies. And I've learned through my work over the last 2 years that I didn't love myself. I didn't have self-love. And that led to everything. My divorces, losing millions of dollars, not eating properly, smoking marijuana and using alcohol. And so I created a, literally takes 2.5 minutes. It's 12 questions, a self-love quiz that anyone can take at bradchandler.com/love. Because then you can get awareness. You can be like, huh, am I one of those people that don't love myself? So if you take the quiz and you get lack of self-love or mild self-love, number one, know that your life can change profoundly. Number two, know that your life is negatively impacted probably in multiple areas because of that lack of self-love. Hmm. Would you agree with that, Leslie?
I love that. I can't wait to take that quiz. That's a great thing.
Thank you. Yeah, bradchandler.com/love. And I'd love your feedback knowing all of your work and being a psychology professor. So speaking of being a professor, what do you think is the single most important thing that you teach your students over the course of a semester?
So for me, there's really two things. The first is the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. When we were kids, you get an IQ test, you might think, oh my gosh, I can't be any better than that number. And so it's really important to know we all have a malleable and pliable brain that even as we age into our 60s or 70s, you can still be learning. And the more you learn, the more you grow. And so really that growth mindset is something that I think everybody should really understand. And also the power of learning people's behaviors, why they do what they do, and the fascination of human behavior, and really tells us a lot about why people do what they do. A lot of times if somebody is an angry person, they're really not angry at you, they're angry at themselves, or they don't love themselves enough. So that to me is two things that I try to teach my students.
Love it. So is that a lot about curiosity? I was having a call with a client last week and I brought up the, rather than go to judgment, just constantly be curious about why people are behaving in certain ways, why you're behaving in certain ways, why you're feeling certain ways.
I love that because in mindfulness, there's a concept known as radical acceptance. They teach you like, I'm angry. Isn't that interesting? Why am I angry? Why am I feeling? Isn't that interesting? Instead of being judgmental, even towards yourself, being with it like a childlike mind, curiosity, also called beginner's mind. I don't know what I don't know, what I don't know. And approaching every day like that is really a great place to start with happiness.
Love it. So I had a question. I thought about the second question, then it lost my thought. What was the first thing that you said that you teach your students that's the most important?
Growth mindset.
Growth
and I
mindset.
Think it's so important for kids to know that you're not limited by anything, that you're not limited by your IQ, by your financial situation, by your parents, by your environment. You really can accomplish anything as long as you believe that.
So how would one know if they had a growth mindset and is the opposite of fixed mindset?
Yes.
How would someone know that?
I would say a fixed mindset is, I'm really dumb. I'm not going to learn anything. My parents are kind of the same way. I'm only going to be able to rise so high in life because I have all these limitations around me. Where a growth mindset would say, you know what? I can think myself out of any situation. I can get a scholarship. I can move. I can help my family when I become successful. I can accomplish anything because I know nothing is set in stone, that I have all the tools I need, kind of like Milton Erickson used this a lot in hypnotherapy. It's called utilization. You already have everything you need, my dear, to be amazingly successful in life. You just maybe don't realize it. So just keep that in mind as you go through your day and don't get discouraged.
Yeah. Carol Dweck has an amazing book on growth and fixed mindset. Have you read that?
Yes. Yeah. I like her.
So Leslie, tell us, who is Leslie and what do you do?
Well, I am really someone who has gone through a lot of struggles in the last 10 years. I basically left my corporate job in 2009 when my job was downsized that I'd been with for 16 years. And my son was having issues at the time. And I decided to spend 10 years at home with him, really nurturing him and teaching him how to be social, how to go through life, even though he had some issues. And really, that's been my last 10 years is helping him. And he's now a junior in civil engineering at the University of Louisville. So he's fantastic. Wow. And now I'm back to trying to figure out who I am. But I am really someone who is perseveres no matter what. I am doggedly determined to live a better life every day. And I really try to approach myself, even though I've had this struggle, even though I may be behind career-wise. Look at the journey I've traveled. Oh my gosh, look at what I've learned. I took this kid who maybe didn't think he had any potential, and he's amazing and he's thriving. And there's something to be said about being a great role model, being a great mom, or even being a great friend to someone. And really, that's part of my journey. And I actually went back and got my master's degree in psychology, and I teach now and do podcasting. I'm a mindset coach. And I love those things because I really love to be presented with someone who is really struggling. And I can share my story and say, let's try to appreciate the struggle. Let's look at what you've learned and look at how strong you are, that you're still sitting here smiling and working on yourself, even though you just might have given up years ago and gotten into alcohol or drugs or whatever. And so really, that's my story, is one of perseverance and really just trying to love myself. And as part of that, I created this thing called the Blessism. It's a mindful blessing spoken from the heart, and created a year's worth of these to help myself more, really. Self-love, mental health and well-being, relationships, even planetary health and well-being. Those are earthisms. And physical health and well-being, and even 3 months of economic health and well-being, one every day, and even spiritual. And so it was really fun creating those and just kind of expanding my mindset and seeing how far I could take it.
That's awesome. Where can people find that, Leslie?
They can find that on the mindfullyblessed.com website, or they can go to thegratitudecoach.com, and all the links are on that's my personal website. We don't know where we're going with them. We've got a bunch of videos and a lot of social media stuff and newsletters. And so still trying to figure out where we're going to go with them and what kind of a purpose they're going to serve. But I'm sure it will be revealed in time what the best way forward that is going to be to share them more.
Yep. So let's dig into some nitty-gritty of psychology and self-love. How do you think that stress from early childhood impacts adults from a health and wellness standpoint?
I really think that it's everything. I think that if you grew up in some sort of trauma, and even if it's something that maybe you had a great loving family and you had everything that you needed, there could still be trauma that creates stress in your life today. When I was little, my grandfather had a houseboat, and we spent a lot of weekends on the houseboat, and it was always a wonderful experience until one weekend, one of our best friends, their son died. He drowned. And it's kind of one of those memories that never leaves me. I always think about it. You know, I'm very leery around water and swimming and being safe and all that kind of thing. And so I think it really does leave an imprint. Anything like that doesn't have to be abuse. It just could be something small like I experienced that maybe still has an imprint that kind of, you know, sticks with me. And another experience, I grew up, there was a really mean dog in the neighborhood, and even walking past him, I'd be terrified. And to this day, I have trouble walking in my neighborhood thinking a dog is going to jump out at me. And it's so silly, because I know I'm an adult now. All the dogs around here, safe and friendly and loving. But that sticks with me, and it's really hard to, it's like an imprint. And I think that stays with you, and you just have to learn how to manage it.
So yeah, I just put across the screen, your behavior is driven by your subconscious mind. So as a child, being scared by that dog imprinted something on your subconscious mind that's still driving you today. So
right.
Maybe you and I will have to do a hypnosis session together to get rid of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And another thing, my dad grew up very poor in Pontiac, Michigan. And he told a lot of stories about growing up poor and walking through the snow, and they have holes in their roof. And his sister saved every Tupperware thing she ever came across. And that kind of lack mentality stuck with me for a long time. I was just, it was like imprinted on my brain, like, oh yeah, money doesn't grow on trees. You get a college education for something to back up on. And I think you really have to work at shifting that mindset and realizing source is abundant 365 days a year, and we're already aligned with it. We just have to realize that. And yes. I wasn't taught that as a kid. I wasn't taught to meditate. I wasn't taught to connect with source. Even the churches didn't teach you that. They just teach you whatever their dogma, which is great. If somebody likes church, I'm all for it, for sure. But they don't teach you how to do that inner work. Nobody shows you how to do that. And it's so important to do something every day, no matter if it's a mindful walk or it's meditating or it's a short little hypnosis or whatever it is, you've got to do that inner work.
Yeah, you mentioned you could grow up in a loving household. And I can't tell you, it's probably 9.5 or 9 out of 10 of my clients, when I've talked to them on the first session and I ask them about their childhood, they're like, yeah, it wasn't my childhood that's caused me this issue, because my childhood was pretty good. And then we get to talking and get more deep, and it's like, it's always their childhood. I try not to use the word trauma anymore, because people want to associate trauma with something big. But as Dr. Gabor Mate says, there's little T trauma and there's big T trauma. You can have stuff as benign as, you know, your little sister coming home from the hospital and you right. feeling like you're from being born, and your parents feeling, or you feeling like your parents loved her more. So yeah, it's interesting how everything is driven. 95% of our behavior is driven by our subconscious mind, and most of our subconscious mind was programmed as a very young child.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of hypnosis, Leslie, I know we've talked offline. You use hypnosis as one of your tools in your toolkit, just like I do. And right. a lot of people hear hypnosis and they just have all of these misconceptions. So tell the listeners, like, can you dispel some of these misconceptions that so many people have about hypnosis?
Yeah, I mean, there has been a ton of research done on hypnosis. It's even been used for anesthesia. If you read some of these research studies, this was way back, but it's not mind control, because your subconscious mind will never do anything against its will or your values. To me, it's a deeper form of meditation. And the only difference is you have the practitioner, which is you or me, guiding you through this guided imagery journey or whatever it is. And you're just really relaxed, kind of like when you're driving and you miss a highway exit, or you're watching a movie and you fall asleep. You can hear everything around you, but you can't move. Now, you could move if a fire alarm went off, but it's really that it's just such a wonderfully relaxing state of mind that is really equivalent to like 3 to 4 hours of sleep, you know, 20 minutes of hypnosis. And I think it really gets a bad rap because of stage shows and people that try to do mind control. And it takes a certain type of person to be able to get up there on the stage. They look for these personalities ahead of time and weed people out like me who may not go for that. And I think hypnosis is a wonderful tool for just about anything you're struggling with, whether it's self-love or your weight or addictions. I think it's great for, I wish it would be used more in AA and that kind of thing, because I think it would do wonders for people.
Yeah, I agree with you on all those counts. Why I think hypnosis is one of the most powerful tools you can use in changing someone's mental state is because whether you have mental pain or physical pain, there's only one real way to heal it, and it's to go to the source of the pain. If you're struggling with depression or drinking or eating too much, anxiety, you weren't born with those issues. Those issues were learned in your early childhood between the ages of 0 and 10, most likely. And those thoughts, like I said earlier, are buried in your subconscious mind and they're controlling you. So many people go to this job they don't like, come home, fight with their spouse, drink a bunch of wine, drink a bunch of beer, whatever it is. And when someone says something, they get completely offended. They're in their car. They're always triggered and they have no idea why. And I'll tell you exactly why you feel that way or why you have this behavior. It's from these subconscious thoughts that were, your brain did its job as a child. You went through something that was stressful and your brain said, okay, why is this happening? I'm going to come up with a reason. It helped you at 6 years old, but it certainly doesn't help you at 46. It destroys a lot of people's lives.
Yeah. One of my favorite hypnosis is the garbage dump for people who smoke, is taking somebody through that garbage dump and all these horrible smells. And once you go through that session, you probably would never smoke again because it's so disgusting. But that kind of therapy really works great for something like that, even though it sounds kind of cartoonish.
Yeah, I've done nearly 100 sessions now with hypnosis, and it is without fail when we're done that 2-hour session, people are like, wow, like, mm-hmm. wow. Almost every single time they're just like, wow. And I say, how do you feel? And they're like, I feel lighter. Sometimes I feel tired because I feel like I just ran a marathon, but oh my gosh, I feel lighter. I feel freer. And why is that? Because now they have an awareness of what is causing them the issue. And like you said, throw 1,000 different issues in there. It could be skin disorder to eating too much, to drinking too much wine, whatever it is, there is a reason for this. So stop beating yourself up if you have issues in your life. It's not your fault. Once you have awareness, then you can have change. And the greatest place to get awareness is through hypnosis, where we tap into your subconscious mind, right?
Yeah.
Are there any other misconceptions that you regularly hear from clients when you mention hypnosis, or like, is there anything else that you can think of?
I mean, I think the big one is you're going to control me and you're going to make me do something I don't want to do. And I really think a lot of churches probably think it's witchcraft. You're going to practice voodoo on me and do this crazy therapy. But it really is a great therapy for pretty much anything. I think if more people realized the effectiveness of it, it's really no different than mindfulness or meditation. You listen to meditation on YouTube all the time, and the hypnosis recordings are really not that different. Maybe you're more relaxed and they're a little bit longer, but there's really no difference. It just depends on how relaxed, how much change do you want to happen? If you want a lot of change, you got to go to the hypnosis, because it's the quickest and fastest way to overcome pretty much anything.
I agree with you. I mean, fear of flying, fear of dogs, like it all stems from something. And I know that before I went, did all my work, golf was something. When I played what I thought to be was an important golf tournament, I would get really nervous to the point where I would literally start drinking at 7:30 in the morning. And by the time I teed off at 8:30, I would have not been able to drive a car legally. And looking back on that, those events, I knew, I'm like, look, I'm at this freaking country club. I know where I'm eating tonight. I don't have any bombs dropping on my head. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I made it worse by not giving myself compassion. So if you're going through that right now, if you're going through the anxiety, the worst thing, not the worst thing, but it doesn't help to beat yourself up about it. There is a reason. And how do you uncover that reason? Well, now I uncovered it. I didn't feel enough. So I was fearful of people judging me. Mm-hmm. I was afraid that if I hit a bad shot or I played really bad, people would judge me. And then secondly, there was probably a part of me that thought, if I can win this tournament, because my brain placed an importance on it, if I can win this tournament, maybe I'll be worthy. So I put all of that undue pressure on me. Now I don't drink anymore. I play in these same tournaments. I play just as well, if not better. And am I perfect? Do I have no anxiety? No, I step on the first tee. But here's how I handle myself now. I say, what am I feeling? I'm feeling a little bit anxious. Instead of beating myself up, I say, it's okay, Brad. I got you, buddy. Because that's my little six-year-old self. I say, it's okay. Right. I've got my hand on you. And it doesn't matter what kind of shot you hit, nothing's going to change. And it just dissipates and the anxiety goes. So love it.
I love that. You know, in coaching work that I do, it's also important to acknowledge where you are. That is such an important part of any coaching process. Yeah, you want to know where you're going. You want to kind of visualize your success, but it's also important to acknowledge where you are and what you may have been struggling with, so that you can just embrace that and say, you know what? Thank you for the lesson. Thank you for the contrast. It's been such an exciting journey that now I'm ready to move on, because I don't feel anxious about this anymore. I've just acknowledged it. And I've kind of befriended it.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. So what is your view on positive thoughts?
Really? I believe that we create our world with every thought we think. And I know that, and I still struggle with, sometimes I find myself in a negative cycle and I'm like, what am I doing? I know I'm creating more negativity. And it's really just, you have to just flip the switch when you find yourself. And really try, if you can't be positive, just try and be grateful. I can find gratitude in this struggle and realize I'm pretty darn strong. Look at me. I'm still here. I'm still sharing myself with the world, even though I've had all these issues. And I think just try and just be aware that you're maybe a little bit of a negative person. And we know a lot of those kind of people. And nothing wrong with that. They just don't know any better. They don't know that they're creating more negativity with everything that they're focused on.
Every single problem in your life comes down to a thinking problem, just thinking the wrong thoughts. It all starts there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And that thinking problem became a problem somewhere between childhood and adulthood, because that thinking, again, served you as a child, but it doesn't serve you as an adult. So again, through hypnosis, you get to go back and rewrite that story. You figure out what was the story you told yourself, and then you get to rewrite it. And in hypnosis, when you're in a suggestible state, those new stories stick way better than if you were just in a traditional setting where your conscious mind is working.
Yeah. Now, we're all an unfinished work in progress is really how you have to look at it. And it's never too late to flip the switch and start fresh. It's like, okay, I'm going to just think differently. Today's my day, and I'm going to really make an effort to be more positive. And it could be as simple as that. It's not rocket science. It's pretty darn simple in the end.
It is hard to be positive, though, because I was mostly positive most of my life, but I couldn't get over the hurdles I got, because although I thought positively on a conscious level, my subconscious was screaming inside that something's wrong with you, you're not enough. And it wasn't until I did the work of going back to the source of my pain and figuring out what those stories were and how they were controlling my life that things really began to change in my life.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I often do an exercise in my mind. It's meeting your future self on the sidewalk. And it's kind of a coaching exercise. And it's really fun. It's like, what's different about me? I'm a little brighter. I smile a little bit quicker. I've got nicer clothes for sure. And just noticing what's different and what really makes the new you shine, kind of the you 2.0. And that's a really fun exercise for people to do, because they come up with all sorts of things that their future self is just a little bit brighter, just a little bit, holds their head up a little bit higher. And it's just really fun. And it's a great way to help people rewrite their story as well.
I love it. Leslie, what have I not asked you that you think would be really important for people to know?
I really think, for me, I'm a mindfulness guru. I love mindfulness. I've even created mindfulness whole programs for people. I'm really a writer when it comes down to it. I love writing and creating things that motivate and inspire people. And I really have a gift with words. And that's really what I love most and what I like to share with people, whether it's through a blog, a podcast, whatever it is I really find that stories can change your world. And that's really, writing a powerful story can change somebody's entire life. And to me, I like to change people through stories. And that's really kind of like the story of the horse and Milton Erickson. He always told these stories. He got into his client's mind and used everything that they had. And these people made amazing changes just through stories. And so I think that's really powerful. If you have a gift, you probably have that too with your clients, telling them a story and helping them. Not everybody can create a new story. You know, they sit there dumbfounded. I don't know how to create a new, and that's where we can help people think a little differently.
Yes. The untrue stories that we tell ourselves really negatively affect our lives and our relationships and our health. So awesome stuff. Yeah. Leslie, how can people get in touch with you?
Just go to thegratitudecoach.com and you'll see all my information. And there's even a link you can click on to schedule a free half hour call if you want to just chit chat and see if what I'm doing is going to work for you. And so that's the easy thing to do. That's not going to cost you anything. So yeah, just go to thegratitudecoach.com and all my links are on there with all my other things that I'm doing. So one-stop shopping.
Thank you so much, Leslie. That was awesome.
Thank you.
If you guys like this podcast, please just take a minute or two to give me a rating and review. It goes a long way in promoting it to other people. I need a lot of people to help me on this journey of helping a million people in their suffering. So that is another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. And remember, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.